Okay, good evening everyone. So this is your fifth and last class for Meditation 101. So I want to first thank you for the perseverance and joyful effort for making it here and all five classes. Is there anyone new here today? First time? Okay, so this is the fifth class. So, but we have a review at the end that will kind of summarize a few things, and it will probably prompt you to take the next 101 series. And there's also Buddhism in a nutshell if you're interested in the Buddhism itself. And then there's Discovering Buddhism. It's a two-year program. I think there are six classes per module, so 13 or 14 modules, I believe. And you can come and go any module you want to. This is if you really want to deep dive into understanding some of the concepts we talk about. We barely touch it, but if you want to get into details, it's available. And if you're serious about it, you can not only join, but you have to take exams at the end of each module, read books. They give you a lot of reading material, and you have to come prepared. So that's a whole two-year program. You can start any module except, I believe, the last one, which is very advanced, so it would be a miss if you just came to the last one. But the next one, I think it started Monday. It's on karma, okay? And it's taught by Robbie Watkins, and I can't say enough. That was my introduction when I first came here. I had read a lot of books, and I had spoken with so many people, but when I took his class, Mind and Its Potential, it left an imprint in my mind. I said, wow, this is amazing. It got me excited. So then I took the whole program. So I can just tell you from my side that it was wonderful. Of course, as I've told a lot of people, there are some wonderful books available. You can always take a look at them. And I will, at the end, if you have any questions, I can show you some very basic books. Not a bad one to have if you're going to practice meditation. Okay, that's a lot of many books, and you don't have to go spending money. There's a library here, so you can borrow the books, or somebody can lend you. That's perfectly fine. I'm not advocating that you purchase any books, just to let you know that it's available. So if you have any cell phones, you can please turn them off if you haven't. So we're going to, like normal class, you're going to start with a meditation. So before you do your meditation, just a quick repeat. Remember that you need to set a motivation. You need to check your seven sitting point posture. You need to do the breathing exercises. Remember why we do some of these things. You can choose your method. The idea is to be calm, abiding, to be present here, leave a lot of those things that you've done during the day for a moment out. You're here right now. So that's calm abiding. Then choose any method you want to concentrate or on a subject matter. But I would like you to do your own motivation. You may have already gone, now you've gone through four classes, and we talked specifically about setting intention. Remember, if you want to go out of that door, you have to have a mind that says, I want to go. Then you have to take action and walk. So set your motivation, whatever that is, for your own mind. And when you finish your meditation, I'm going to walk you through a meditation, but at least for calm abiding, you do your own. At the end, we will do a dedication. It's like sealing it finally. Okay? So take 5 minutes of your own time. Check your posture again. And I keep on forgetting to say that when we talk about sitting posture, I kind of give you an example of how you sit down, where your hands should be. They should be a little bit apart and all that. So just quick walk through it. What I keep on forgetting to tell you is both feet, if you're sitting on a chair, should be on the ground or on the cushion, but they should be flat so you're not folding your leg up. You want your body grounded. Okay? Your back is straight, not rigid. Again, when it comes to neck, it's relaxed and slightly tilted forward, not down, and not way up high, okay? And then you want to make sure that your lips are not clenched, and it's lightly touching each other. And I forgot that your hands, when you're sitting down, your left hand is below, and the right hand is on the top, and thumbs slightly touching each other, okay? And then your tongue is back of your teeth, up top of your palate, just resting easily. And these things are not 4A. So there's a reasoning behind all of these things, and we'll go through that again tonight. But just so you know, that this just helps you from not salivating. The putting down head too low makes you nod off. If you're too high like this, you may wander. Your mind may wander. Back straight is for those energy channels, so that when you're thinking something, it helps your mind. Okay, sitting nicely and grounded. And then lastly, your eyes are either slightly open or slightly closed. And we say that is because the tendency in the beginning for many people is comfortable to close your eyes, which is fine if that helps you. But the reason it's slightly open is so that you are looking in your mind. It's almost like the daydreaming. You know, you sometimes open your eyes and you're really dreaming, but you're not looking in front of you. Eyes slightly open allows you to be aware of your surrounding, but you're really focusing on your mind. Okay? So those are some of the things that you should be aware of when you're sitting down in a posture, either on a chair or on the cushion. Just make sure. If you are using cushions or some pillows or anything at your home, I showed you last time how to put them in such a way that you're slightly off of them a little bit, just so that your behind is on the cushion, so your back is straight. You're not like settled in it and you're hunched over. Okay? Any questions about sitting posture? In the end, it doesn't really matter. It matters is if you're able to focus on your mind and you're able to accomplish what you set out to do. That is the main goal. Okay? So, bring yourself here. Go through that, paying attention to your body, keeping your posture straight. And we'll do that for 5 minutes and then right into your meditation. I'll lead you into another meditation. Okay? Okay, now that your mind is all settled, visualize in the space above your head a sphere of white light. Pure, transparent, and formless, and somewhat smaller than the size of your head. Spend several minutes concentrating on the presence of this light. Don't worry if it doesn't appear sharply. It is enough just to feel it there. Now contemplate that the sphere of light represents all universal goodness, love, and wisdom, the fulfillment of your own highest potential. Now visualize that it decreases in size until it is a small bright sphere about 1 inch in diameter. If your mind wanders off because of noise or distraction, bring it back to that beautiful light. This small ball of pure white light descends through the top of your head to your heart center. From there, it begins to expand once more slowly, spreading to fill your entire body. As it does, all the solid parts of your body dissolve and become light. Your organs, bones, blood vessels, tissues, and skin all become pure, formless white light. Concentrate on this experience of your body as a body of light. Think that all problems, negativities, hindrances have completely vanished, and that you've reached a state of wholeness and perfection. Feel serene and joyful. If any thought or distracting object should appear in your mind, let it also dissolve into this white light. Meditate this way for the next 5 minutes. Finally, dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Thank you. So as always, how was your experience? Any obstacles, any problems, any questions? Please.
Last week someone had talked about setting a motivation, compassion or something like that. And you started talking about how to visualize it and how it feels and how you feel and how, you know, how it is within your life. So setting that motivation, right, but not wanting to think about thoughts, how does that play out?
So there are two kinds of meditation, right? One is stabilizing meditation. So first you want to be calm. So you want to filter all the daily things. I ate this and I went there and what I'm going to wear and all that goes away, right? So you're present, just like we do here. Now you want to get into analytical meditation. So you take the subject of your analysis or the object or subject of your thinking and you bring it forefront and you start to analyze it. What does it mean? You know, it may require further reading. It may require some questions so that in the end, you are really getting an insight for what it stands for. You start to realize it without going into a lot of details about the I being out of it and what true compassion is, what true love is, and it can be defined further. You really need to dissect it, how you see that subject first, because each person sitting here sees it from probably a little different angle to it. you know, I can love my car, I can love my mother, I can love my brother, I love everybody. I mean, love can have 1,000 meanings. So what is love? So you need to analyze how you see that subject. And when you start to realize more and more, you get deeper into it. And remember, we talked about mind is clear, that we have a tendency to attach things to ourselves because it's, we internalize it. Everything is out there, but it's me-oriented, you know, how I think. You, if you look at the subject for what it is and realize how it can help or benefit you, your mind and others' mind, you'll start to analyze it and dissect it. When you ultimately, the goal is of those that thinking is to have a true insight and conviction. Once you know it, in your, that this makes sense. It's only not only good for me, it makes me feel better. I'm a happier person, but I am also influencing many other things. Every time I talk to somebody, I'm a much calmer person. But it's all about your mind. Right? But it has a compound effect sometimes. You know, so it's analyzing, there are many meditations, and if you may, I may suggest you to this How to Meditate book. It has some tremendous analogies, and a lot of these meditations come from this book. And it gives you a little bit of preface. It tells you what is it that you're analyzing, should it be seen. You know, this is not a class in Buddhism, but the Buddhist perspective is how things are impermanent. We talk about things change all the time, like a stream of water, right? Things are moving, things are changing, every molecule is changing. So when you say, I feel this way, you are really labeling yourself like you truly exist and you are like permanent. But when you look at perspective and know that everybody wants to be happy, you have a different way of looking at it. And you may step back and not defend yourself or not get too aggressive. Those are the thoughts you want to develop. And good thoughts, virtuous thoughts, the main thing is that when you plant a positive seed, then it causes inconditions. It goes out there, right? And we talked about it, that the seed came from that tree came from another seed. So you're planting a seed in your heart. So you want to analyze it, because to you, compassion or love or impermanence may mean totally different than how I think. So that's the way you want to think about compassion. So you want to take any subject to analyze. You want to be calm abiding. You want to be calm and put a subject in front of you and start to think about it. Start from yourself and then see where you go from there. And once you feel that you have gotten some conviction, that there's some truth behind it, then it means something. Okay, so I'm going to read you a small story. It's interesting. I was going through my notes today, and I came across this story, and I thought it was important. It's a small story. It's not a huge story, but I think it has something to do with what we've been talking about. And some of you may have already heard this story, so if I'm repeating, just bear with me. It's a story about the cookie thief. How many people have heard about this cookie thief? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop them. She was so engrossed in her book, but happened to see that a man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which he tried to ignore to avoid a scene. And so the guy's just picking up the cookies and eating them. And she's like, okay, I'm not going to say a word. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock. As the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock, she was getting more and more irritated. As the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When one was left, there's only one left now, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it into half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve, and he's also so rude. Why didn't he even show any gratitude? She had never known when she had been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belonging and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her bag, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. "If mine are here," she moaned in despair, "the others were his." And he tried to share, too late to apologize. She realized with grief that she was a rude one and the ingrate the thief. So it's a fantastic story, such a short story, but it speaks about how our mind can sometimes trick us. And, you know, how, you know, when we talk about analysis or meditation, those are changing those habits. You know, you jump to a conclusion very quickly. You know, how can you take my stuff? And so she was still kind enough not to say something, but it was very interesting. It wasn't even her cookies. So I thought that was it. It just, again, we've been talking for last four classes about this. The meditation is a way to really look inside, look at that inhabitant, because we always look outside at what's out there. He's bad, she is good, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, how come this happened to me, and how come my boss said that? We need to just examine inside how we relate to those things. You know, so that's why it's pointing to the meditation. I do want to bring up one subject. We've talked about two major categories, right? Stabilization, and then we also talked about analytical meditation. There's such a thing called glance meditation. Okay? It's not a different category. It's another word for review meditation, just a title. And I'm going to explain you. So every class that I've been coming here, in the beginning of the class, except for today because we're going to cover it at the end, we review what we've covered, right? The analogy would be like taking a stone and throwing it in the water, and you know how it bounces? While it's still progressing, it's touching the water at different angles before it sinks, right? So you have been progressing all this time. But when you review something, it puts things in perspective. It kind of puts things in like, okay, oh yes, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I here? You know, but you think about all the things we've covered in the four classes. We started with very basic, what is meditation? Why should we meditate? What is mind, types of meditation, obstacles, all these things. But it kind of gives you a good picture of all the things that you've already learned. Okay, you should also review or do a glance meditation at the end of the day. Look at your whole day. If you set a motivation in the morning that I want to be kind, I want to be compassionate, I want to focus on what is impermanent, what is this guy talking about impermanent, you know, I see the darn thing every day, you know, how is it impermanent? You want to, but at the end of the day, if you set a motivation, kind of quickly go through it and think, what was my motivation? What did my day start with? What was my thought? Did I do anything about it? What it does, it keeps on sealing. It keeps on really, it's an affirmation in a way. You're confirming that what you're doing, your practice, you know, we always talk about exercise program. You know, when you don't exercise, you let it go. But when you start, what happens? You'll park your car far so you can walk a little further. Oh, I'm going to put in 50 more steps. You know, you're constantly thinking. You may look in the mirror and see the is looking different. We always are analyzing and looking at it. You're basically reviewing it. You're making sure that what you're doing is you're really thinking about it. So that's a review. Review. It also confirms your motivation, because sometimes there are doubts in you. Right? So it kind of clarifies, well, this was my purpose of going to the class. I want to do something about it. Is this the correct thing? Am I thinking this correctly? Do I need to ask somebody else? It just gives you some affirmation that what you're doing and what you're getting into is something that you truly want, and to do something about it. Okay? So that's what we call a glance meditation. And you can use that to slowly change your mind in a positive way. Help your meditation. If something didn't go right, you reacted. You said something. Maybe this will allow you to take that pause and think, geez, I did that today, though that was not my intention. Maybe do that. Oh, I should have been a little more careful. And it kind of, again, puts pressure on next time when something like this happens. It may just trigger you to say, take a pause. So review meditation or glance meditation is not a category. It's a way of thinking. The reason I mentioned that is because everything we have talked about is focusing on something, concentrating on one thing, relaxing your mind. This is like thinking of many things. But the idea is the same. He's just glancing over what you've been thinking about. Okay? So that's called, just so you know, when somebody says, you know, I was doing a review meditation, or if this is a kind of review meditation, generally speaking, review meditations are done by advanced practitioners. There's a book we have called Lam Rim. It's a graduated path to enlightenment, according to Buddhist tradition. It's step by step to lead to enlightenment. Okay? And so a lot of these meditators will practice all of these things, and then once in a while they'll do a review meditation of all those sessions and chapters. It puts a very good picture on where they missed something or where they were strong or weak at something. So that's enough of glance meditation, but at least you're aware of what that is. Okay? All right. So the next subject that I'll be going to talk about is that all of these times we're talking about our mind and disturbing thoughts, and we really don't define some of these things too detailed because this is Meditation 101. This is not about teaching you Buddhism or any other faith. It is all about, I only have to say that as a disclaimer because we are in a Gampa of a Tibetan Buddhist, teachings. And so a lot of these teachings come from there. They've been practiced for 2,500 years and have had a lineage of teaching and proven after time, and so I believe that there is some facts to it. You should check it out for yourself. You know, just because I said so or somebody said so, do it and see if there's a result. And if you do it and you find result, then you have conviction for yourself. Okay? So, according to the Buddhist tradition, a lot of the suffering and, you know, all this birth, death, pains in the daytime, all these kind of things we have to work for living, and all this suffering we call it, right, is because of ignorance. Okay? So let's talk about the word ignorance. This is not about an ability to just decipher what's right or wrong or not knowing something. That's one kind of ignorance. This is about actively misinterpreting things. Think about that for a second. So you see something, what's going to happen? You're going to quickly label from your side, this is bad guy. He gives me a hard time all the time. For no reason. I haven't done a thing. But he seems to give me a bad face all the time. Now, you've seen it from your perspective. Already a bad guy. Already you don't like it. Right? But that's a misinterpretation. That guy could be a son of somebody who's loved by somebody, who's a teacher for his or her children. Could be a great guy. But for you, you've labeled him as somebody you don't like. So this ignorance we're talking about, okay, we have a bias or discriminating mind based on I. We always discriminate. This is not about hot water and cold water. What should I touch? It's just water. No. We have to have wisdom. But I'm talking about any kind of discrimination based on that egocentric, I-centric, you know, he doesn't like me, he loves me, that kind of stuff, okay? So it's self-cherishing mind, remember? So what the idea behind that is, you can use that in the analytical meditation. You know, sometimes, and we'll go through that today. One of the biggest, our class, by the way, may not go all the way till 8:30. It may be slightly short, depending on how we go through the review of everything. Okay? But we're going to go to a meditation soon. It's called For Equanimity. You're going to start to think in your own mind, see how you relate to people, and how this ignorance of attachment and aversion. Remember, either you're attached to something, or you have an aversion for something. The same thing. It's just the opposite end of the same thing. Okay, aversion is, this person doesn't like me, I hate him. But the attachment is where? Here. He doesn't like me. He likes me. It's me-oriented, right? That's discriminating. That's a biased thought. Okay, so always remember that the mind is clear. It doesn't have these clouds. We've created these clouds because of our habits. You know, I like this, I don't like that. And I will also like to say from my own side is that it's okay to have, it's nothing wrong in certain desires, like you want to have a home for yourself or food for your stomach. It's how you're attached to it. There's a difference. Even we don't want you to go out and saying, well, I give up everything. It'd be great if you want to become a monk or a hermit. Nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying that in real world, the world we live in, okay, the word real is also in quotes, because a lot of these things are because of causes and conditions. You have to be careful that I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be discriminating. And this is there's a difference between saying good, bad, good for my health, not good for my health. That discrimination is different than when it's I-oriented and I want it. It's against me. It's for me because I said so. There's a more ego involved in it, self-cherishing involved in it, and you dwell in it all the time, always thinking about it. That's a little different. Okay? So aversion and attachments are rooted in self-centeredness and self-cherishing. So we kind of talked about that. So I'm going to discuss in the nature of mind and its equanimity. So we kind of touched it a little bit, that when you really think about people out there, okay, which are causes of a lot of our suffering, the word ignorance, we talked about attachment and aversion, it's related to a lot of the people around us, okay, right? And think about it all day long, from parents, children, family, social structure, schools, work. That's what drives us all the time, you know, most of the day at least, right? So we're going to start with a nice meditation on equanimity, okay? So again, I would like you to get back to your 7-point posture that everybody is now so familiar with. This is slightly longer meditation, but I want you to think about it as we are going through this, okay? So focus your attention on your breath. Use one of the various breathing meditations, counting the breaths or 9-round breathing meditation or mindfulness meditation to settle the mind into the moment and into more concentrated state. Comfortably and generate a strong intention to do this meditation in order to overcome self-centered bias and judgments and to develop the mind of a perfect equanimity and balance towards others. Imagine in the space in front of you, 3 people. Someone you like, someone you dislike, and someone you feel indifferent towards. Keep these 3 images in your mind throughout the meditation. First, focus on your friend. Allow your feelings for that person to arise strongly. Feel your conviction that this person is definitely and truly a friend. That is, a person who is good to you and fulfills your needs and wishes. Also feel how you really want this person to be happy. Identify yourself with these good feelings. Now, shift your attention to your enemy, the person you dislike, who is not kind to you, who does not satisfy your needs, who annoys you and makes you angry, who hurts you. Regard this person carefully. Look carefully at the feelings you have about this person. Finally, shift your attention to the so-called stranger, the person you just barely know, but whom you neither like or dislike. Look carefully at that person and note carefully your feelings of indifference. Now consider and recognize that the nature of your relationships with each of these three people and the labels you have put on each of them are based solely on what they do or don't do for you at this point in time. Think of people who have been your friend, but then became your enemy, and vice versa, or strangers who became friends or enemies. Each of these labels is temporary and impermanent, just what the situation is at the current time. Now move your attention back to your friend and imagine a situation that would cause the friendship to end. Imagine your friend turning against you. Experience the resentment and the anger and the hurt that you would feel in such a situation. Do you still feel warm and friendly feelings towards that person? Do you still wish him or her well? Want this person to be happy? Where is your friend now? Remember that this person was not your friend before you were acquainted. Recognize how easily this person could cease to be your friend, just as you've imagined. Think to yourself that there is no sound reason for feeling kind and loving towards only the friend of this moment. Relationships have changed in the past and will continue to change. Today's friend can become tomorrow's enemy. Now move your attention to the present enemy. Imagine a situation in which you could be drawn together and become close, for common interest, a word of praise or kindness. Look at the person and your feelings towards them very carefully. Are your feelings softening, becoming warmer? You can learn to feel warmly towards your enemies. This has happened before and will happen again. So why do we hold so strongly to the concept that this person is definitely your enemy? Now move your attention to the stranger. Imagine how one act of kindness or anger from this person could immediately turn him or her into a friend or an enemy, respectively. There is no inherent definite stranger there. There is no sound reason for the feelings of indifference that we hold on to. Remember that your present friend and your present enemy were both strangers to you beforehand, and this enemy could become a friend or enemy or an enemy now. Maintain your awareness of these three people in front of you and think about the fragile impermanence of these relationships. Only your misconceived belief in the concreteness of these labels of friend, enemy, and stranger that holds your mind back from the possibility of change and fluidity. Your friend, enemy, and stranger all want happiness, just as much as you do. In this respect, we are all equal. Also, everyone is equal in having the potential to develop their minds to the fullest extent and to achieve ultimate clarity and compassion. The differences that we see in people are superficial, based only on the mistaken and narrow self-centered views. In fact, everyone is equal in deserving our care and compassion. None of this means that we should not discriminate at all. On a practical level, our ability to distinguish between actions and individuals is necessary. Naturally, we feel closer to some people, and it's wise to keep our distance from others. This is not in any way contradictory to the meditation above. The point of the meditation is to develop equal concern and equal regard for everyone, for their well-being, whether they help or harm us at this point in time, and to see that the labels that we put on others are often arbitrary, mistaken, and very changeable. Dedicate all your positive energy you have created through this practice of mindful meditation to becoming a better and a better person for yourself and for others, and having more peace in life. So this was meditation on equanimity. This is a type of analytical meditation. It's not denying that, you know, we are discriminating, so it's okay to say I don't want to be close or something. But again, as related to definite enemy, definite friend, and then how, when you really start thinking about it, it's amazing. You know, the so-called friend was not your friend a couple of years ago. They became friend and may change again. Just that awareness. It's a pause in thinking. there's nothing wrong in having friends. Okay, so it's the attachment and how we label it, that without this I can't be fulfilled and all that kind of stuff. That is an attachment. Or having such an aversion for a person that you don't even attempt to forgive or to walk to the person or say good morning or good afternoon. So it relates to the aversion and the attachment, and that's what we were talking about, being ignorant. Any questions? I'd like to hear some input. Was that helpful? If you think. So, it's 7:48, and what I would like to do at this point is actually, rather than dwelling more into analytical, what is analytical meditations and different types of meditations, you've gone through about 11 of these things, 12 actually. So you should have a good understanding. Okay, so just kind of take a moment to think about the glance meditation and think about all the things that we've covered in a short way. It will help the person that's here for the first time, and then we're going to go through the assessment, and I'm going to walk you through that again. So we'll take 15-20 minutes, okay? And then we should call it. So when we first came to the class, whatever the intention was, whatever your motivation was, I kind of asked everybody, why are you here and what brings you here? And you heard different things from I have anxiety, my mind wanders too many places, I want to find peace, I want to be more mindful, I want to simply learn. And then we had a student from the school says, I just want to observe what you guys do. Okay, different things. But you can see we slowly went into understanding what is meditation. Okay, it's different from relaxing your body in a spa. Nothing wrong with it, but this is more about a process. This is not something that you click your fingers, sit down quiet, and zone out. It's really zoning in. You're starting to analyze your mind. Where are you? Why do you think this way? What are your habits? That kind of stuff, right? We went through that. We talked about the purpose of meditation, which kind of just what I mentioned. Then we went through types of meditation. We also dove a little bit deeper into how mind works a little bit. We talked about some obstacles, if you remember. Okay, dullness, distraction, also some other obstacles could be this habit of anger, not having patience, and we can deal with those things. And there's plenty of writings on those things. You can certainly go to our learned people in the Kadampa Center that can give you some tremendous teachings. But this is a class just to talk about meditation. Then during every class we went through some meditation, right? We went through understanding how to sit and the reason behind that posture. It's not just because somebody does it that way or my teacher did it. There's a reason behind it. We walked through all of those 7 points and actually sat down and showed it to you. Then we talked about scanning your body. It brings you back to here. You realize you're alive. You're here. You went through the entire day, but you chose to sit in that car, had the motivation to come here for whatever the reason. Okay, so you brought yourself here. You got your mind calm. So we talked about that stabilizing meditation, so calm abiding. Then we went through a couple of exercises of mindfulness. So you remember the breath exercise, that you're breathing, your mind wants to go into a story, but you bring it back, teaches you how to concentrate. You're teaching those muscles that wants to go immediately within seconds. If you can even keep your mind stable for 2 minutes, it's a great feat. And now think about those people who do it for a long time. There are stages in meditations that they go through. It is amazing. It's very profound. So it's a practice, but you start small. And we talked about not doing this for 15 minutes and half an hour or hour every day. Don't do it till you get tired. Do it for 5 minutes, maximum 10 minutes. And you go through this review. Think about what you're doing and why you're doing. And eventually, when you feel comfortable calming yourself and finding a nice location in your home, going to the same place, some timing, once you have that and you start practicing, then you can bring in analytical or analysis. And we talked about many subjects, thinking about impermanence of life, this ignorance and attachment. Some people even have other meditations like death and dying. His Holiness Dalai Lama does that every day. It just sobers you. It's not, we have this thinking about that, oh, death is the end. But we already talked about how mind goes into infinity, body goes away. But if, and we talked about an example of where the thought came from, and the next thought will come from this thought. So it keeps on doing that, right? So you believe it or not, it that's not the point here. The point is that it's real. It will happen to all of us. So sometimes they even put that in front of us. It makes them stronger during that time. When that time comes and you may be scared, you may not be scared, you may be enlightened by then. Whatever the case may be, it puts reality in front of you and makes you learn how to deal with it. And when you think about it enough, it's not so scary after all. And when you can put some logic behind it and some of the things that you've gone through, it actually is just moving on. You know, your biggest fear is attachment. You talk to a lot of people. I've worked in hospitals. What will happen to my house? What will happen to my cat? What will happen to my money? Nobody comes to see me. You hear that all the time. So that's strong attachment to those things. If that mind is evolved to saying, I'm fine, I'm in good hands, I will continue, I will do better things, I have causes and conditions to be in a better place, it just makes you that strong. So these practices help. So with that in mind, so these are things we've covered. I want you to know that in 4 classes, we went through quite a bit of things. You just need to think about it. So for a person that actually goes through this, through FDMT, our organization, signs up and takes, they have to take this exam. This is how it goes. Answer 5 of the following 8 questions and submit to your course teacher. Answer should be 1 or 2 paragraphs at the longest, no longer than 1 page if you really want to get into some details. There are 8 questions, but they only ask you to do 5. So we're just going to skim over it, some basic things, okay? Nothing detailed. So please participate if you can. If it triggers something and you want to say, I would like some group discussion. So the first one is, what is the purpose of meditation? Discuss how meditation can benefit us in life and how it does it. How does it do it? Anybody wants to take a shot at it? Doesn't matter. There's no wrong or right answer. Just go ahead and we can discuss it. Please. It would be great.
I feel like one of the things that meditation does is extends the pause between something happening and you reacting to it.
Okay. That's wonderful. Somebody else? It's okay. Go for it. Be comfortable.
I think meditation is all about me becoming a better person and the people around me doing the same.
Okay.
Meditation has helped me learn how to pause and consider the possibility that I am misinterpreting. And I've had some just immediate experiences with that, and I was just totally relieved when it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to.
Fantastic. Remember, the question is, what is meditation and how it benefits you, right? So
I think meditation is the opportunity to sit down and reconnect with your true thoughts and sort of filter out the world, and then you can make a decision based on who you are and not let all the other noise influence you.
Fantastic. Anybody else? So I'm going to go through some of the points that we've covered in the class. It will maybe trigger everyone was right. There's no wrong answer, really. Meditation is here to help you. You just need to practice it, right? So here. One is because there's intimate connection between mind and action. We kind of talked in details. So a lot of the things we do first happens in your mind as a thought, then we take action. Second, that is, our state of mind plays a crucial role in our experience of happiness and suffering. We make it terrible, we make it happy. Right? It's amazing how our mind says. It's amazing when I do presentations at work, no matter how many times you do it, the first 2 seconds before it, it's like butterflies, you know, you hear your own sound. But then they tell you to do what? Take deep breaths. Take 3 deep breaths. Walk away. Get things in perspective. Come back and just do it. It's a little mini meditation there. You talk about 9-round breathing meditation to a calm abiding. Then I have is, meditation is an activity of mental consciousness. Remember, mind is not a brain. It's not physical. Okay? Delusions of the mind are inner habits and causes of unhappiness and problems in life. So we are identifying them through meditation, right? So meditation is a process that looks at inner you and with techniques aimed at training the mind. It can have a positive impact not only on physical. We've seen magazines now, I've showed it to you. They're already finding out how it helps your heart and how it helps your blood pressure and how it helps your cholesterol and how it even helps neurons to be reborn and reconnected. And in some cases, they're finding out that gray matter actually increases. So that's physical. But think about the mind consciousness, and it brings you happiness. And if I were to paraphrase what our Geshe La said in one word after a good couple of hours of meditation and teachings, is it's all about finding happiness and removing disturbing thoughts. If you don't remember anything, it's removing disturbing thoughts. And if you do that, your state of mind that is aware, clear, and knowing is in a happy state. That's meditation and the benefits. Good? Question 2. This should be very easy. Describe 7-point sitting meditation posture and benefits of each. Who wants to take a stab at that? Very easy. We've been doing it every class. You can start any part of it, but if you want to start from bottom up, it just helps you.
So the leg posture, either in full lotus or I can probably do it loud enough. But it keeps you balanced.
If you use the microphone, it will help. People can hear it.
The legs crossed in such a way that it helps. The benefit is the balance.
Okay.
Seven
points. Now you can continue. Somebody else wants to take
other ones, but they're further up, so I can.
Anybody else?
I don't know what's next.
No, we've been doing this like last 5 classes now.
Is it the hands or
legs? Okay, so let's take legs. You mentioned legs, so it's like you said, it's fully crossed or half crossed for those people who can't, and the purpose is, like you said, grounding, balance, and keeping the back a little straight. Okay? That's the main. Now remember, people in the outside or different places, they don't have cushions and sofas and chairs. But it's okay to sit in a chair, like I said. So there's nothing, it's not saying this or that. It's just that sitting posture is important, so it keeps you balanced, grounded, keeping your back straight. The next one is arms. So talk about that. Go ahead and take a stab at it. Anybody? How should your arms be? Okay. So the point is, you don't want to sweat. And there's an air circulation, right? You want to be comfortable. So what you don't want to do is go like this. Because what happens? You're concentrating. You are in a great place. And a little later on, you want to do this. You may want to even lift and go back. So it just allows you to have air circulation. Okay, so that's the main reason. And also, it sometimes helps you not fall asleep. Sometimes, depending if you just do this number, then you get tired. It just kind of gives your posture up a little bit. Okay. The next one is back. Now, we talked about, the arms here. We can talk about that. That's just to make sure the circulation in the body is complete, so you don't have an open area. So what about your back?
Stack of coins,
very good. You don't want it like Italian spaghetti, that's what Geshe La says. Okay, again, back is straight for a reason. You want your channels, the energy centers in the body. Remember that meditation, 9-round breathing meditation with the center channel and the 2 side channels? Okay, you want those to be clean. Just think of little straws. If they were bent, what happens to the fluid? It doesn't come in. When things are clear and open, things work better. So it's just for the clarity. Then was eyes. or slightly open. And what is the purpose behind that? Very good. You got it. Awareness. You want to be aware, because remember, meditation is an active process. You are aware, you're sitting here, you're aware, you're surrounded by people, but even amongst, within that, now your mind goes to a nice location, but you're not totally out, you still are aware. You just know that if a train comes by, the train doesn't take your thoughts into a station, back to downtown, to a place you want to go tonight at 11 o'clock. You want to bring it back, right? So the eyes are important. Jaw and mouth, in short, you're not clenching. Your tongue is relaxed behind the teeth on the upper palate so that you're not salivating. And after a while, you know, the drool comes out or something like that, as you're not cleaning your mouth. It's for that reason. The tongue, we talked about again, back of your mouth. And your head is slightly tilted, not nodding off, not too low, not too high. Again, too high, it starts to wander. Okay, too low, you may get distracted or dull, but just nice and relaxed, so that you're not too rigid from the neck. That's your sitting posture. We've done this all the time, and if you think about it, it makes sense. Okay? Clear with that? Okay. Number three, what are two main types of meditation? Briefly describe each and the benefits of each. This will require some thinking. So we've been talking about it all the time. Okay. What are the two major categories? So you can take mindfulness as a type of meditation. So just so you just say the two things and we can talk about it. Stabilizing and analytical. Those are the two major categories. Within that, you can have visualization and glance meditation, all that. But the point of stabilization is what? You got it. In general, develops concentration, eventually to attain calm abiding. It enables one to remain focused on whatever object one wishes for as long as one wishes, and can one experience serenity, bliss, and calmness. Now, it's not this or that. You want to be calm first before you analyze. It's like a filter. Remember, I gave an example of scattered water drops all over the place, but when you channel them into a pipe or something, it's a powerful stream. Your mind is like that. Okay? So the next one is analytical. So somebody can explain what an analytical is? You're there. So I'll read it exactly. For developing insight or correct understanding of the way things are, and to attain special insight that sees the nature of things. It's more definitive in here, so that's why I read it. So you're analyzing it, right? You want to have some conviction in something, so you can take a subject of anger or impermanence. And start thinking impermanence, what does that mean? You know, I'm here, I could touch my skin, so what's impermanent about it, right? This table exists, this bell exists, so now you start thinking about it. Does it truly exist? Where is the table in there? It's just a name we gave. It's a piece of wood or laminate. Or you can think about, my body is changing. It was different even yesterday. We think about it, but if you're really thinking, when you were 16 years old, are you the same now? But you still said that I is still there, right? It's still me. It changes all the time. When you become 60, 70, 80, whatever it is, you will not be what you are today. We are always changing. So that's just talking and giving an example of how you can analyze impermanence. So there are many subjects that you can analyze, but it gives you insight, it gives you clarity of subject matter. And in the end, you have conviction. And so now when you're calm and you have some conviction, it's easier to then follow. So those are the two things. When combined, brings direct and intuitive knowing. Any questions on those? Right. Describe the difference between the skills of concentration and mindfulness. And there are varying uses in meditation. This is a short answer. So I know that the question sometimes is like, okay, what does that mean? So I'm going to say something here. So concentration. If you think about the 9-round breathing meditation or concentrating on the breath, what was the real purpose? You got it. Is remember the word gom, becoming familiar with? These are words used to bring your mind into. When you focus on one thing, it's not distracted 20 other places. Therefore, it becomes a little calmer. That's why we talked about having an object in front of you. Could be anything. You know, if you are spiritually inclined, you could have a statue of something you have faith in. You could put flower, anything, something you enjoy, something that's not going to change in your mind. You can have a good feeling. So the idea is, again, concentration. So we've done 9-round breathing meditation, right? So you know that. So concentration is to focus. Again, more you focus on one thing, less distractions. It also helps your mind, training your mind. So concentrating on an object of meditation, also 9-round breathing meditation with the 3 channels that we talked about, it is to set the mind on one thing without distraction. That's your self-focus. Mindfulness. So what is that? Very good. Anybody else? So, mindfulness, inner awareness, and observation of stream of consciousness, thoughts, emotions, etc. So when you do better attention, you observe your mind, mindfulness. So you're thinking, that happened, then all of a sudden I purple or green color comes and starts to do this number, then that goes away. Then all of a sudden you're seeing faces, then all of a sudden you're in another story. Your mind is constantly jumping around. Mindfulness kind of says, bring it back to that focus that I was in. Since you can not only allows you to help with that concentration piece, but it tries to bring back, it's mindful of what you're thinking about. If you're thinking about impermanence, subject of impermanence, now you're not thinking about the blue dress. You're thinking about impermanence. You're being mindful of that subject. Right? And a couple of thoughts to this is, remember again, mind is consciousness. It's not physical. It's not your brain. Keep that in your mind. Your brain is a piece of organ with meat and nerves and so forth. Mind is consciousness. It can even observe itself. Remember, we talked about it. Good. So we talked about concentration. We talked about mindfulness. Right? What are some of the obstacles to meditation? Describe some methods of countering those obstacles. We've talked about it many times. What are the 2 obstacles or other obstacles that come to your mind when you're meditating? Good. Distraction, right? Or dullness. Perfect. Right? So think about that for a second. Dullness comes, you're tired at the end of the day, and you don't have the capacity, you're not relaxing your mind, it's tense. So it's like, oh yeah, enough. And then you become dull, you want to nod off. Right? Train comes by, and here you're thinking about this beautiful white light, and here comes that beautiful little old Amtrak. What happens? That white light turns colors. Right? But it's training your mind. But you think about it for a second, you can still hold it. You can come back to it. So obstacle can be distraction or dullness. When you're doing analytical meditation, there are many obstacles. So you have habits of anger, too much attachment. Those are all obstacles, right? You will start to justify very quickly, but I think it makes sense. You know, your mind immediately wants to go back to where it's comfortable. But when you place it in a neutral position, like we did equanimity, you may be able to see its real, where it belongs. Okay? So those are obstacles. So some ways to, we talked about it a couple of times, don't put your head too, if you're getting drowsy, don't put your head too low. You know, you want to keep think something joyful. you know, then all of a sudden it's not so dull. On the other hand, if it is too wandering, you can even get a sober thought, things like impermanence, and all of a sudden reality hits, like, oh geez, you know, I live in this fantasy world, but this is my reality. It will calm you down. He even talked about having that image being heavy. It's just something having a big base, heavy, it kind of calms you down. It brings you down a little bit, puts a weight on it. We also talked about the other way. If it is too dull, you can think something light that goes right to your crown in the sky and becomes light like a sky. Some techniques you can use to get your mind balanced a little bit. So obstacles, distraction, dullness, ways to counteract them. This is everything we've gone through, you know. Question number 6. What are different parts of meditation session? What is the purpose of each part? This takes care of actually everything we've learned, but in very few words. That's one piece of it, absolutely. You're right there. You're right on the money. So, obviously, calming your mind first. Their attention. Think about everything you do every day. Every time you come to the class, we say hello, turn the phones off, and then we immediately go to get your mind calm, set your own motivation. Okay? And remember that big saying, I kept on, I've said it twice, I'm going to say it one more time, for it's the last class, it'll be great. This is Buddha's quote, the thought manifests as word, the word manifests as deed, the deed develops into habit, and the habit hardens into character. So watch your thought, as we think, so we become. That's meditation. That's what you're practicing. Okay? So the next piece is to set the intention or motivation. And remember, we went into a big subject that intention is not just only for the meditation. It is all day long, you got to put a check on it. Okay, go to the grocery store, think about it. What was your motivation? If you truly ask yourself what drives you, you have your motivation. Why did you come to the class? Why are you learning meditation? What is driving you in there? Whatever that is, that can be your motivation. Okay? Then the actual meditation. That's the third part. You have to do the actual meditation. So then we go into, we've done sky, spaciousness of the sky, mind like an ocean, light body, all those things, right? So actual meditation. Many benefits, physical benefits, mental benefits, clarity of mind, correct understanding of way the things are. And the last we talked about was dedication. It's a way of sealing and directing positive energy that you have created. It's free to give it out. And more you spread it out, better it is for your own mind. It's like giving, it's liberating. It's not hoarding onto it, because that itself becomes grasping. Right? So, and what would you lose? Even in your mind you say, this beautiful feeling that I have, let it go out there. You know, I always think it's like when you finish the painting, you want to seal it. It lasts longer. So dedication, put it that way, it's putting that save button, remember? You do all this work and you don't save, it goes away. But when you save it, you can tap into it again, right? So dedication. So any questions on parts of meditation? So you should very easily know now what is meditation. It's not relaxation, right? Okay, so the next question is, how is meditation different from simple relaxation? You are in the right thought. So relaxation is not negative. It's not this or that type thing. So when you're relaxing, what you're doing, you're relaxing your body, you feel good about it, you take a nice warm shower, you sit and go to a spa, or you sit in a warm bathtub, you feel good. Nothing wrong with that. But you cannot call that meditation. All these things we've been talking about in our mind, looking at the inhabitants inside, looking at your thoughts, your habits, your patterns, you're actively trying to work it have conviction so that you can lead a better life and be happier. Don't make this so difficult for yourself. These are just subject matters we cover. But when you think about it, ultimately you want to be calm, better person, happier person. Right? So it's different. You just want to say it does involve, meditation involves one part of your mind observing and analyzing and dealing with the rest of the mind. And remember the word gom means to become familiar with something. The last question, open-ended. Describe your own meditation practice and the benefits and difficulties you have experienced along the way. You don't have to answer that here. We'll be here probably a long time if everybody chooses to speak. So I can conclude by saying it is a process. It requires practice. Daily practice of 5 to 10 minutes. Intentions can be practiced throughout the day. If you want to be a happier person, then meditation can be an extremely great tool. Right? So I have some quotes here from Dalai Lama and one from Buddha I want to read. So this is from His Holiness. I believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. From the moment of birth, every human being wants happiness and does not want suffering. Make sense? What we think and do in our own lives is of extreme importance as it affects everything we are connected to. Understanding of process enables a person to gain control of that process or to gain freedom from being controlled by it. Think about it. And so here's what Buddha says. We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. The way is not the sky. The way is in your heart, in your mind. Peace comes from within. Do not seek it without. Very profound. Anything we have said in this class doesn't oppose it. It's all about that. So in the end, what I would like to ask you is to persevere. Do it with some enthusiasm. Not every meditation is going to culminate into this wonderful flowery feeling. Some things are real. If there's damage, habits of damage done for a long time, it's going to show up. Your mind is going to fight it. Oh, I like it. I don't know what else to do. You need to allow yourself some compassion, yourself first, before you give it out to other people. Be compassionate to yourself. Okay? Remember some of the things we've talked about, what ignorance is. This attachment to self-grasping I is different. But having compassion for yourself, taking time daily, find a place in your home to do it, and do it. You'll be amazed at the benefits of it. But it has to be a habit that you develop and do it. If not, you come to 2 or 3 classes, we read about it, then it's a closed book, and there goes the meditation. But I know about it. It's fine, but it's not going to help you if you don't do something about it. Any questions? So you all passed the exam, the assessment, by the way. That was easy, right? And is everything that the question asks, we've covered it in quite a bit. You just wanted to put it in perspective again. Then what do? I do the attention or the breathing, and then I look at the... Don't go. Just organize yourself. Be in the presence. Think about why you're here. Calm your mind. Either you analyze or just concentrate. Be comfortable. Do some intention. Set up an intention why you're doing it. You'll see how it starts to help your life.